Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Mem Vav. We will begin on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Chumma Bar Gorya Amar Rav. A word of introduction as we begin our shir. Our Gemara will discuss Hilchos Geirus, how one becomes a ger. But the first part of our shir discusses the geirus of an Eved Kanani. We know, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem in the Shir, that a Jew has the ability to buy a Nochri as an Eved Kanani. Under normal circumstances, the process to be followed when one buys this Eved Kanani is that one has to be Megayer, this Eved, this Nochri, to become an Eved Kanani. Because the halacha is that Eved Kanani, after he goes through his process, is obligated to do mitzvahs kenoshim, like women. At that point, he becomes an Eved Kanani, and he remains in that status until his master frees him. And because he has this special status, he's not just freed with his master telling him he can leave. He has to have what's known as a get shichur, a special shtar, special document that frees him, and he becomes a Yisrael. He goes through a geirus process at that time, and he has the din of a full-fledged Yisrael. In a way, the Mefarshim point out, Eved Kanani is actually less than a goy, because a goy does have some level of yichus, and Eved has no level of yichus, as we mentioned in the previous shir, Am Hadoy Melechamor, and that's the normal process. Our Gemara refers to a situation, a unique situation, how an Eved could extract himself from becoming an Eved Kanani. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gorya Amar Rav, Halakeich Eved Merav Kachavim. There was a guy who owned an Eved, and as we will learn, a guy can never really have full ownership of another guy. So he only basically had a financial lien on him, that this Eved has to work for him. Halakech Eved Ma'av Kechavim. V'kodim v'tov l'shem ben chayrim. So a Jew went and bought this Eved, and before he could undergo the process that we described, this Eved went to the mikveh and went through a process of geiris. The halacha is konatzme ben chayrim. He becomes a ger, a Jew, and he's not an Eved Kanani. My Tama, what is the reason? Says the Gemara, as we said, one guy cannot have complete ownership over another guy. So the guy never really owned this Eved. My the Kanale, who the Matnele Yisrael. When one sells something to another person, you can only sell what you own. So what did the goy sell to the Jew as he sold him this Eved? He sold him his lien that he has on this individual that has to work for him. So all he has is a lien. If this now Eved goes, kanda v'tovel shem echayrim, goes and immerses himself with the tension of becoming a ger, afkel shibudei, he has nullified that lien. And the Gemara is going to give us an example, examples, where how we see the liens can be nullified. Although the Rishonim do point out that even though this Eved has successfully extracted himself from becoming an Eved Kanani, he still owes the person who bought him the money that he paid, because he damaged him. This purchaser paid whatever it was to have this person become his Eved. Now he undid that deal, so he has to pay him that he was mazik him whatever amount of money he paid. Moreover, the Mefarshim point out that this situation that our Gemara is describing is only possible to happen with an Eved who's an adult, who could become a ger, because he has the das, he has the mental capacity to understand that he's becoming a ger. But if one bought from a goy a cotton, to become a Zeved Kanani. A Katan can't become a Ger on his own, because he doesn't have that mental capacity, that Das, and therefore it would not be considered a Gerus. The Mefarshim also point out that if Beis Din participated in letting this happen, knowing that this was part of this Eved's trick, so to speak, of how to become, how to extract himself from the Avdus, the Halacha says, the Rishonim, is that the Beis Din would have to pay the purchaser because they caused him damage. This is what's known as Garmi. The Rishonim, however, do point out that if it wasn't just the Beis Din who made this ger, made this Eved into a ger, as we will learn later in the Shir, Beis Din has to be there when one becomes a ger. Rather, with somebody who gave advice to this person, you could do this and avoid becoming an Eved, even though it's the wrong thing to do to give a person advice which will harm another Jew. That is not a situation of Garmi, and the person giving the advice would not be obligated to pay damages. Kedarava, the Gemara says, where do we see this concept that a lien can be nullified? Damarava, Hegdish Chametz v'Shichur, the situation of Hegdish, the situation of Chametz and Shichur, will explain each one of these situations. Mafkim de Shibud, they could nullify a lien. The situation is as follows. One borrowed money from someone else, and the lender and the person who got the money had to put up what was known as an apoyteki, a collateral, saying that if he will not be able to pay the loan, the creditor can take this item that was identified to pay up the loan. The halach, so there's a lien, so to speak, on these items. So the halach is that hegdish, if the debtor went and was magdish this item, even though there's a lien on it, it nullifies the lien, and the hegdish is effective, and it's no longer an apoyteki. Rashi says, only a kedushas haguf, which is the highest level of kedusha, that it's an intrinsic hegdish, has the ability to undo the lien. A different type of hegdish does not, a kedushas tumim, does not have that ability. And so learns the Ravid. Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam seem to disagree, and they hold that even a kedushas tumim has the ability to undo the lien. Chametz. The situation of chametz is that if someone owes money to a guy and he identified certain chametz items to be the apoyteki to pay that loan, we know the halach is that one who owns chametz over Pesach, it's no longer his. Chametz is also b'hano over Pesach. So even though a Jew identified these chametz items to be that apoyteki to pay the obligation, to pay the debt, since Pesach the chametz is osur, the lien is dissolved, and the Jew has to destroy the chametz. What he can do is, if he puts the chametz completely under the control of the nachri, then the chametz is considered the goyz and does not become osur and required to be destroyed. The shichur, and the same is if somebody identified his slave to be the apoyteki, and he freed his slave, that emancipation, that freeing, is considered effective, and there's no longer a lien on this Eved. Similarly, says the Gemara, when the Eved goes to the mikveh with the intent to become a ger, he dissolves the lien that's here previously. This forum explained a pidrush, this member of Rava, Hegdish Chametz for Shichur, Mafkim de Shibud. One way it's explained is that it's talking about different times of the year. Hegdish, says the Shemesh Shmuel, refers to Shabbos, as the Pasuk says, V'shemartem es HaShabbos K'kodeshi. Chametz refers to Pesach, when we're not allowed to eat Chametz. Shichur refers to Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar, which is similarly blown on Yom Kippur, of Yovel, to free the slave. These three times of the year, Shabbos, Pesach, and Rosh Hashanah, Mafkim, and Shibud, have a special power in those days that we could come out of the Shibud that we all unfortunately have to Yetzer Hara. Along the same lines, others for him say Hegdish. If someone is Magdish Atzmai B'Mutaloi, as the Ramban says in the beginning of Parashas Kedoshim, somebody even things that are permissible, he's careful not to overindulge in. Chametz, that a person is careful not to eat chametz and Pesach. The Shichur refers to learning Torah. Ein Lecha Ben Chayrim El Amish Oisah B'Torah. These three mitzvahs have the ability of Mafkim Dei Shibud to help us overcome the Yetzer Hara. Moser Rav Chisda asks Rav Chisda on Rav. It says in a brisa, Maisa Bebluyer Agiyoris, there was a story of a Yoyer who was a Giyoris, Shekidmu Avodeo V'Tavlofanel. She was non-Jewish, and her slaves before her, before she became a Giyoris, went and were Megayed themselves, or Bar Masl Fnei Chachamim, and this question came to the Chachamim, what is the status of these slaves? V'Amru Kan Atzma B'nei Chayim, they're Geirus is effective, and they're not considered any more slaves. But what do we see from this brisa? Lefanel in, only because they were Megayin themselves before Beloria was Megayin herself. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Lachreha, but if they were Megayin themselves after Beloria was Megayin herself, Loi, once she has a financial lien on them, this approach of being Megayin himself to dissolve that financial lien doesn't work. I'm a Rav, so Rav explains the Brisa to me like this. Lifanaha, if they were Megai themselves before she was Megai herself, then bang bestam bang mafurish, whether when they were Megai, when they went to the mikveh, they explicitly said they're doing it for the purpose of gear, or whether they just went to the mikveh, the geiris is effective. Lachreo, but if they were doing this after she became a Geiris, there, b'mefarishin, if they explicitly said that they're doing it for the express purpose of becoming Geirim, it would be effective. B'stam, but if they didn't express themselves, loy, since she was already Geiris, it would not be an effective Geiris. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Ritva explains the Gemara that the Gemara's referring back to the din that we learned, that a geiris of this eved that there's a financial lien on is effective. The Gemara is distinguishing where the geir does the geiris, where the eved does the geiris. If he does the geiris in front of the owner, then even if he doesn't expressly say that he's doing l'shem geiris, it's effective. L'faneho. If, on the other hand, they don't do it in front of the owner, there the halacha is that it has to be said with flourish, they have to express that they're doing it l'shem geiris. Amrav Avya. So Rav Avya goes on to say, where was it said that if the geir goes and is Megayin himself, that's effective? That's as we described, if one buys an evit from a goy. Aval oiv kechavim gufei, if a goy oiv kechavim sells himself to a Jew, kani, he completely sells himself to the Jew, and this approach that we just said would not be effective. And as Rabbeinu Avram Menahar explains the difference, when one guy sells another guy to a Jew, so as the Gemara said on top of the Amid, he can't sell more than what he has. So since all he has is a financial lien in that guy, he can't sell more than that, and that's why there's an ability for this guy to be Megayin himself. But when a guy sells himself, so this guy has complete ownership of himself, and that's what he's selling to the Jew, and therefore it's too late for him to become a ger. The Ksiv. The pasuk says you could buy from the people that live with you. Atum koinim mehem, you could buy slaves from them. V'loyhem koinim mehem, they can't buy from you. V'loyhem koinim zem mezeh, and they can't buy one from the other. V'loyhem koinim mehem lemai, what does it mean that they can't buy from you? Ilaim lamasa yodov, it would say that a guy cannot have a situation where he has a Jew obligated to work for him. Ato ayv kechavim lekane leYisrael mas yadav. Asked the Gemara, is that true that a guy cannot have a Jew obligated to work for him? V'ksiv oy laeker mishpachas gay. And the Pasuk is referring to Jew working for non-Jew. Elav legufe. The Pasuk is referring to complete ownership. The Kam Rachmana. And the Torah is telling us, Atem Kaina Mehem Afila Gufe. A Jew could buy a Nochri to have complete ownership. A non-Jew cannot have complete ownership over a Jew. So we see from here that when a non-Jew sells himself, he sells himself completely and can no longer become a ger. Paruch Rav Acha asks Rav Acha, who says that the Braisa here is referring that the Jew only paid for the non-Jew who sold himself, and already at that point the non-Jew can no longer become a ger to free himself from being an Eved Kanani? Ema, that the Braisa, perhaps the Braisa is referring to a situation of Kasva V'Tfila, that the non-Jew received payment and also went to the mikvah. Only at that point can he no longer be Megayim himself and prevent himself from becoming an Eved Kanani. But if only there was payment, perhaps the Braisa would agree that he could still become a ger and avoid being an Eved Kanani. Says the Gemara Kasha, it's indeed difficult. And as the Rishash explains the machloikis between Rav Acha and Rav Avya. Rav Acha, says the Rishash, holds that no one has complete ownership over themselves. Since they don't have complete ownership over themselves, so even when a Nochri sells himself to a Jew, it can't be that he's completely selling himself. He's not completely the Jew's unless there was also tefillah. However, Rav Avya obviously holds, says the Rishash, that just by payment does the Eved, does Nochri become completely the Jews, since it's he himself who's selling himself to the Jew and can no longer become a ger. Amar Shmuel, continues Shmuel telling us, V'tzarech l'toikfoy b'mayim. The right thing that the owner should do, this is the way the Aruch Haner explains the Gemara, is that when the Jew is Megayir to Eved, he should bear down upon him when he's in the water. Kihad minyamin avdei derav ashi boilet bule. They wanted to be toivel this Eved, master in Nile of Rav Ashi, so he gave him over to Ravina of Achabre derava. Amalu, and he told him, Chazu, be careful that this person should not be Megayir himself and thereby avoid becoming an Eved Kanani. Because if he will do such a thing, as we learned earlier in the Amid, Menaycha Kabazla, you will have to pay the compensation for my loss. Ramalei Arisa B'Tzavari, so they put a leash around his neck. Apalei V'Tzimtzalei, and they made it loose and they made it tight. Apalei, they made it loose. Keich Delela Havi Chatzitza, in order that it shouldn't become a Chatzitza when they were being toivel this Eved. But they made it tight, to prevent them from saying that I'm making a geris l'shem tefila, which would then make him into a ger, and he would not be an Eved Kanani. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Behada the dalei reishim emaya, as he was raising his head up from the water, anchele zult the tina reishay, they put a pail of cement on his head. Vamalei zil amti lebei marach, go deliver it to your master's home. As the Bach explains, and Aruch Haner, the same concept. They wanted to show and declare that he was an Eved. So as soon as he left the water, they right away put this pail of cement around his head to show that he is an Eved. And as the Bach explains, how was that shown? By from the moment he going out of the mikveh until he goes to his owner's home, he does an act of servitude, that shows that he's an Eved. The Paiskim also point out that even though a leash around a neck while one is in the mikveh is a miyut shein makbid, it may not be considered a chatzitza, since when one is not in the mikveh, it's considered a chatzitza, therefore even in the mikveh, it's considered a chatzitza and had to be loosened. This story Rashi explains the Gemara, and from here Rashi says we see that when one is toivel, his eved, to become an eved kanani, the tefillah can be done even without the consent of the eved. As we see in our Gemara, the eved wasn't satisfied. They showed ownership by forcing him to down in the water and putting the bale around him. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that the tefillah of an eved has to be done with his consent. And actually the Meiri says that the machloikis of Rashi and the Ramban is really the basis for another shayla. The halacha is, the shayla is, who makes the bracha when one is toivel and eved? Does the owner make the bracha, or does the eved? Says the Meiri, according to Rashi, that the eved is immersed without his consent, so the owner is the one that makes the bracha. According to Ramban, that the consent of the eved is required, the eved is the one that makes the bracha. From here also, the Paiskin say we have a raya, that the tefillah is not considered completed until one leaves the mikvah. Because if after he took his head out of the mikvah, they put the cement around his neck to show that before he's complete his tahara purpose, he's already showing that he's an eved. If the tefillah is completed as soon as his head is out of the water, it's too late. So from here we see that tefillah is only considered completed once the eved, once the person who needs tefillah, only completely left the mikvah. The Bnei Yisachar uses this Gemara to explain a very nice, says a very nice pshat. He says, we know the Mishnah, the beginning of Masech Krisis, lists all the averis for which, if one does those averis, he's Rechmal Tzlon Chayiv Karis. And usually the Chayiv Karis is only if one did a Laisasei. He was over a Lav. Certain Lavim carry with them the Oynish of Karis. But point out the Bnei Yisachar that we know that there are two mitzvahs asay for which there's a Chayiv Karis also. That is Mila and Pesach. If one doesn't have a Bris Mila, or one doesn't bring a Karim Pesach, there's a Chiv Karis. And he points out, why are these two mitzvahs asay different than all other mitzvahs asay for which there's a Chiv Karis, says the Bnei Sascha. When, as we will learn actually later in our Shir, did Klal Yisrael get these two mitzvahs of Mila and Pesach? When they were freed from Mitzrayim. At that moment, when they were freed from Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as our Gemara indicates, wanted to show that they're his avodim. How is it shown that they're his avodim? By doing a Maisa Abdus, by doing an act that shows that they're servants, just like in our Gemara, they put the pail around the neck. Similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we were freed from Mitzrayim, immediately wanted the effect that we should be Avdei Hashem. How was this accomplished? It was accomplished by immediately giving us the mitzvahs, showing an act of that we're servants of Hashem, that we have to do a Bris Milah, and we have to bring a Korban Pesach. The person who doesn't have a Bris Mila, the person who doesn't bring a Karim Pesach, is showing that he doesn't want to be an Eved Hashem. And therefore, that's Karis. He's cutting himself off. He's separating himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, for these two mitzvahs to say, there's a Chiyuv Karis. Says the Gemara. And we're going to explain the Gemara the way Rashi and Tosfos explain the Gemara. Omlari Apopularova. Chazimar Hanidabe Papa Bar Abba. The people from Bar Papa Bar Abba, the Yav Zazil Anshila Kargayu. In those days, the rule was that if somebody did not pay their taxes, the person who paid the tax on their behalf, he would become a servant to those person. So people pay taxes on behalf of other people, or Mishabdi Behu, and then they become their slave. So the question is, to what degree are they considered a slave? And as Tosfos explains, we're referring to Goyim, says Rashi, and the question is, since it's a dina de malchusa, it's a rule of the government, that such people become the slaves of the people who pay the taxes on their behalf, How far does the Dina Malchusa go? Are they considered full-fledged Avadim Kenanim? Kinafki, Tzricha Gita Decharus Aloi, do they require Get Shichur like all Avadim Kenanim require or not? Amle, Icha Shchiva, had I passed away, Lo Amlechol HaMilsa, I would have never been able to tell you this halacha. Because Hachem Rishesh and the Mefarshim explained, what he meant to say was, I heard this halacha from Rav Sheshis, no one else did. And if I passed away without giving over this halacha, no one would know the din. Hachi Amar Rav Sheshis, Rav Sheshis says, Mudraika dahani betafs de malkamonach. The seal of bondage of these people is in the king's chest. Everybody is subservient to the king's rules. Or Malka Amar, the rule of the land is, the mandala yav karga, whoever doesn't pay taxes, mishtabed lamandala yav karga becomes an eved to the one who pays the taxes on his behalf, and therefore they're full-fledged avodim kananim, and they have to have a get shichur to be freed. When are they freed? They're freed when they pay, when they serve the amount of time for the money that was spent on their behalf to pay taxes. The Mefarshim say that even though our Gemara is showing us, as we know, the halacha is dina de machusa dina, still point out the Mefarshim, dina de machusa dina is not to be taken past a certain limit. What do I mean? For example, the halacha is, we've discussed this, the midaraisa, if a husband dies, his yarshim are his children, his sons. In most countries, the chukas ha'amim is that a wife inherits a husband. Dina de malchusa dina cannot tell us that the wife should be the Yairish, not the children. Dina de Machusa Dina is only relevant when it affects the law of the land. Like in our Gemara, where this law was promulgated in order that people should pay taxes, that the government should always get its tax income, that's when we say Dina de Machusa Dina. But if there's a rule of the country that doesn't really affect the welfare of the country, like who is the Yairish of a husband, there of course we do not say Dina de Machusa Dina. Says the Gemara, Rav Chiya bar Abba iklal Gavla. Rav Chiya bar Abba came to the city of Gavla. Chozav v'nois Yisrael dem Avram Megerim Shemol Eloiv Tavlu. He saw Jewish women, and they were pregnant from Gerim, that did not have a complete Geris. They only had a Mila, but they did not have a Tefila. Also, Chozav Chamer di Yisrael, he saw the wine of Jews, the Mazgei of the Kechavim, that non-Jews would pour water into the Jewish, into the Jews' wine to dilute it. V'shas Yisrael, and Jews would drink that wine. The Chazan he asked to saw Tamarsim the Shalke of the Kechavim, beans that were cooked by non-Jews, V'achli Yisrael, and Jews were eating them. V'loiham alamidi, and he didn't say anything to them. Why didn't he say anything to them? Says the Hagos Yavitz, because Rav Chiya bar Abba was of the opinion that these people were non-Jews. He held that if someone's father is a non-Jew, he's a non-Jew, so he doesn't have to follow halacha. However, Osla Kamele Rav Yochanan, they came to Rav Yochanan, who Rav Yochanan holds that since the mothers were Jewish, these people are considered Jewish. So he said, Omalei, say v'achreiz abaneim shem mamzerim, say the children of these women are mamzerim, v'yeinam shem yayin nesach, that the wine is yayin nesach, we'll explain each point separately in the Gemara, v'al tamosan and their beans, Mishum Bishule Akum, have a problem with Bishul Akum, Fisheneb Ne Torah, as we'll see, this Sheneb Ne Torah refers to the aspect of Bishul Akum. Explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan held Abaneim Shem Mamzerim, that the children are Mamzerim, because Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, Dom Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Om Rabbi Yochanan, Lo'olam en a ger is not a ger at Shiyimav Yitbo, until he has both Mila and Tefila. The Kiva de Lo'ovid Tavel, since these Goyim had not had Tefila, he's a goy. And Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, as we learned in the previous year, that have Vlad Mamzer. And that's why he said that their children are Mamzerim. He said that the wine is considered Yai Nesach. Mishum, Lech Lech Oyrim Nazira. We tell another, go away from the vineyard. Schar Schar, go round and around. Don't walk through a vineyard. Even though another is only not allowed to drink wine, we don't let him even walk into a vineyard. The Carmel, the Sikr, don't come close to the vineyard. Here too, as Mefarshim explained, the Isser is only for a guy to actually touch the wine to make it into Yayin Nesach. Here, they hadn't touched the wine. They only poured water into a cup, into the wine. So it was an indirect movement of the water. Still, Chazal were machmer that that should be considered to stay away from the issue of Yayin Nesach, that that also is prohibited. And I saw a beautiful verse from the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe says that throughout Shas, we find that when the Gemara wants to use an example how we're supposed to be safeguarded from doing Averis, the Gemara always uses the terminology Lech Lech Am Nazira Schar Schar L'Kam Lo Sikrif. So the question is, as the Satmar Rebbe, why do we use the example of a Nazir? Says the Satmar Rebbe, what we're trying to learn from here is that a Nazir is a person who accepted upon himself Naziris. He's a person of a higher level of Kedusha. Perhaps he doesn't require safeguards to avoid doing Averis. He's already on a high level. Tells us the Gemara that even this Nazir, who's on this high level of Kedusha, L'kamer L'sikrev, has to make for himself safeguards not to do an Avera. And certainly everyone else has that obligation too. And they said that these beings had a concern of Bishul Akam. There was a special gzeir because they're not B'nai Torah. Ask the Gemara, Ha B'nai Torah, if they would be B'nai Torah Shari, would there not be an issue of Bishul Akam? Anything that can be eaten when it's raw, those kind of foods, but these beans are not edible raw. And that's why yesh b'mishum b'shul akum. So why is it only because of fish and b'nei Torah? So here we see, says the Gemara, that anything that can be eaten raw does not have a problem b'shul akum. That's why most fruits or vegetables, there is no issue of b'shul akum. Ask Tosfos, so why is there a problem of b'shul akum by eggs? Eggs can be eaten raw. Answers Tosfos that since eggs are normally not eaten raw, even though they possibly can be eaten raw, that doesn't take them out of the status of being a food susceptible to Bishul Akam. So why are these tumasim not susceptible to Bishul Akam? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ki idach lishna svirlei. Domer Hashmur by Yitzchok mishmei derav. Kosh ein al shulcham lochem. Any food that's not served at a king's banquet, lechabas, the past, to be eaten with bread, ein b'vishum b'shum b'akam. So beans is not a food that's served at a king's banquet. So that's why there is no issue of bishul akam. And only tam the b'nei, ein b'nei Torah, did they say there should be an issue of bishul akam on it, ha b'nei Torah, if there would be b'nei Torah, given that they're not eaten on shulch malachim, shari, there's no problem of bishul akam. Now Farshim discuss, is it, when we say that it's not eaten at the king's banquet, what does that mean? It's something that's not eaten at king's banquet. Also, the Gemara here is adding the lafas basa pas, that's something that's eaten with bread. So, possibly, it will have a food that is eaten at a king's banquet, but it's not eaten with bread. It also will not be susceptible to halachas bishul akam. Mefarshim also seem to indicate that there is a difference between the halacha of Stam Yenom and Bishul Akam regarding a non-Shomer Shabbos Jew. That a non-Shomer Shabbos Jew that touches wine that wasn't Mavushal can cause that wine to become Stam Yenom, but that would not be the din regarding Bishul Akam, that even if the person is not a Shomer Shabbos, the food he cooks will not necessarily become Bishul Akam. Tanur Rabbanan. The Gemara now discusses the process of Geris. Ger Shemov v'leitavol. If a Ger went through Mila without Tefillah, Rabbi Lezo Aymar raised a Ger, he's still considered a Ger. She came at Sinab Avaseinu, as we find with Avaseinu when they left Mitzrayim, Shemov v'leitavol. They only had Mila and not Tefillah. Tavol v'leimol, if there was only Tefillah and not Mila. Rabbi Yeshua Aymar raised a Ger, that's also an acceptable Geris. She came at Sinab v'imos, as we find with our imos, who left Mitzrayim, Shetavlu v'loimolu, that only had tefillah. So the Mefarshim, the Rishonim ask, that we know that throughout Halacha, the Halacha is, that Ein Karim Imos El Arba, there are only four people that can be considered the Imos, Sarah, Rivka, Racha, Valeya. So how are we calling the Imahos, those women that left Mitzrayim? So one teretz that I saw is that when the Gemara says, Ein Kohen Imahos El Arba, that's regarding Tefillah. When one mentions Imahos and Tefillah, he's only allowed to refer to Sarah, Rivka, Rachav, Aleya. But when one is not in speaking about Tefillah, then Imahos could be any of our mothers from the previous generation. Another teretz that the Meiri says is that's exactly what the Gemara says. How did our Imahos, how did Sarah become a Geyoris? By having Tefillah. She obviously couldn't have a Mila. The Chum Aymer, the Chum Hold, Tavav Lai Mol, Mav Lai Tavav, we have to have both Tefillah and Mila. And Ger, person is not considered a Ger, Achiyimal V'yitla, until he has both Mila and Tefillah. And as we'll see on Ahmed Beis, that is the Halacha. And as Mefarshim explained, what is the purpose of having both Mila and Tefillah? Because the Geiris process, the conversion process, entails two steps. One is that the person is no longer a Goy, and the next step is that he's a Jew. Mila separates him from his Ola, and he's no longer a Goy, and Tefillah is what makes him into a Jew. In fact, I saw an interesting Shaila that the Binyan Sion discusses. The Halacha is that a Geir has to have first Mila, and then Tefillah. What would be the Halacha if the Ger underwent Mila, and as the Gemara will actually indicate in the next shiur, till he's not allowed to have Tefillah until he's cured from the Mila. He shouldn't go into the mikveh unless if it could be detrimental to that wound. What is his status between the Mila and Tefillah? Because we know the Halacha is Goy Shishavas, if a Goy keeps Shabbos Chayv Misa. What would be the Halacha if there's a Shabbos in between the Mila and Tefillah? Says the Binyan Sion, and so says the Chassam Sofer, that he is in a very interesting status. He's not considered a Goy, but he's not considered yet a Jew. But since he's in this new status, he already does not have the halacha of Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Misa, and he will have to keep Shabbos and not have to be Mechal Shabbos. As the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua Nami Nailif Me'ovis, why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua also learn from the Ovis? And from the Ovis we see that Mila alone is enough. And in the same hand, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer Nami Nailif Me'ovis, Me'imais, why don't we learn from the Imas that just Tefillah alone is enough? V'chi Teima, Ein Donin, Efshe Misha Efshe. We cannot learn Halacha from somebody where something is possible to somebody who's something not possible. We can't learn the halacha from women where Mila is impossible to men where Mila is possible. Says the Gemara Vatanya, I'll prove to you that it is possible to learn Efshe Mishi Efshe. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Menayin LePesach Darish Einar Baal HaMenachulin. How do you know that in all generations when people have to bring a carbon Pesach, they have to use chulin money to buy the carbon? They can't use Maisa money. Nema Pesach Mitzrayim, Nema Pesach B'Doris. It says Pesach, that they had to bring a Karim Pesach when they left Mitzrayim. And it says that in all generations, they have to bring a Karim Pesach. Ma Pesach Om Mitzrayim, Ena Ba'al Men Chulin. The Pesach that they brought when they left Mitzrayim only came from Chulin, because there was no Maiser at that time. A Pesach, Om L'Doris, Ena Ba'al Men Chulin. So too, in all generations, the Karim Pesach has to come exclusively from Chulin. Amalei Rekiva. So Rekiva asked, "V'chidon efsh mishi efsher?" In the time of Mitzrayim, there was no Maiser. But in future generations, where there is Maiser, perhaps Maiser money may be used for the Karban Pesach. Amalei, so Rav Elazar said to him, "Av mishi efsher." Even though there was no Maiser money then, still Rai Gedela he even Nilman himeno. It's an effective Rai, and we can learn from there. Says the Ritva that even though normally ain't done an Efshe Mishi Efshe, how can we bring a proof from something that wasn't possible to where it is possible? With that situation that we're learning from is the source of the Din, then we can learn from there. Since this Pesach was the source of all future Kabbonos Pesach, even though there was no concept of Maisa yet, we can learn from there that Karban Pesach cannot come from Maisa money. And the same by the Geiris of our Imois, since that was the primary first Geiris the Klal Yisrael experienced, even though it's a situation of Efshir, we can learn from there. And in fact, from here the Pais can discuss if one could pay his mitzvah obligations with Maisa money, and the Pais can say that one who wants to do such a thing, a mitzvah that he's obligated to do, he can't pay for Maisa money. A mitzvah that he's not obligated to do, he can pay for Maisa money, but he should indicate before he takes on the obligation that he's going to use Maisa money. Ella, betov leimol, says the Gemara, if one just had tefillah, kulam le pligi de mahani, it is an effective tefillah. It is effective geirus. Ki pligi, but mov le tovel. The shaila is if there was only mila and no tefillah. Rabbi Lezer yalef ma'ovos, that just like the others had mila alone, Rabbi Shua said that's why mila alone is effective. Shua says, but others nami tefillah hava. The others also had tefillah, and that's why tefillah is an effective geirus. Menole, how does Rabbi Shua know that the others had tefillah? Ilayim medikseiv leichel om. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, go to the, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, go to the people, v'kidashtem hayoyim u'mocher, v'chipsu su moshem, they have to clear, wash their clothing. Daloch says the Gemara, ma b'mokim sh'ein kibus toin tefillah. In a situation where kibus is not required, a belkeri does not have to wash his clothing, he does have tefillah. Mokim shetan kibus. So here where Chazal, where the Torah is requiring washing, ain't a din shetan tefillah. So this is a proof that they had to have tefillah. Says the Gemara of Dilma, what happened there was just nekiyas ba'alma. They had to wash the clothing, but it doesn't mean that they had tefillah. El mahacha, the proof is from here. V'yikach Moshe sadom, v'yizrak ala'am. Moshe took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. The Gemiri, and we know, then hazor, that there's never any hazor without tefillah. That's the proof that there was tefillah. Rav Shua, asked the Gemara, according to Rav Shua, tefillah by Nos Manolan, how do we know there was tefillah by Mos? And as Tosfos explains, perhaps only the men underwent, only the men underwent hazor, which requires tefillah, not the women. Or, as Tosfos also suggests, the Gemara's question is now going to Belezer, who does not agree there was tefillah. So how do we know that the Imois had tefillah? So the Gemara's Faru, they must have had tefillah. Then came a man nichtesu tachas kan fishchina. They had to have something that made them into Gerim. Mila is not possible by them. They must have had tefillah. Amrab Chibar Abba Amrab Yoichman. Loilam ein a ger. The halacha is that Gerus is not effective. Achiyima v'yitpal, until there's both Mila and tefillah. As the Gemara Pshita, of course, that's the halacha. Yochav Rabim, we have the rule that Yochav Rabim aloch Rabim, and the Rabim, the Rabbonon, hold that Mila and Tefillah are required. Says the Gemara, Man Chacham Rabbi Yosi, the Chamim are not the Rabbonon, the Chamim are only Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Harei Shabo, if a person comes and says, Malti, I had Mila, v'loi Tefillah, but I did not have Tefillah. Matbilan Oysoi Mabakach, Bezdin takes him to the mikveh, and he's considered a full-fledged Jew. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Emet Bilim, we do not let him go to the mikveh. As Rashi explains, we're concerned that maybe the Mila wasn't the real Mila, maybe he's an Arab that did not have the Mila with shame geiris. So we have to have first Hatofas Dambris. The Braisa continues, Lefikach matbil and ger b'Shabbos, the Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we could do tefillah of a ger on Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef ein matbilim, and Rabbi Yosef says we cannot. So we see that this position of the Chachomim is not really Rabbonon, it's just Rabbi Yosef. And now the Gemara analyzes the Braisa. Amamar, Lefikach matbil and ger b'Shabbos, we could be toivel a ger on Shabbos. Pshita. Ask the Gemara, of course, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we could take a ger to the mikvah on Shabbos. Kivin d'amar Rabbi Yehuda b'chadis sagya, since Rabbi Yehuda holds that either milo or tefillah, each one of them is sufficient, hecha d'mol afanenu, so if we know that he had a proper milo, mitbilim, why shouldn't we allow him to go to the mikvah? Ma lefikach, what is the Braisa trying to teach us? Answers the Gemara, ma d'tema, we might say that even Rabbi Yehuda holds, Rabbi Yehuda tefillah ikar, that the main aspect of the better way of doing a geris is with tefillah. With tefillah b'Shabbos loy, and one should not be allowed to do the tefillah b'Shabbos to come a second gavro. He's making the person from a non-Jew into a Jew. Either one alone is sufficient, and therefore if the person had a proper milah, the tefillah is not what makes him to a ger, and therefore may take place on Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef says we can't take him to the mitzvah. on Shabbos. Pshita, as the Malkivan Dom Rabbi Yossi. Tartabinin, since Rabbi Yossi requires both Mila and Tfila, so he can't have a Tfila on Shabbos. Tfil tikkun gavra Shabbos lemeskaninon. We can't make the person into a Jew in Shabbos. It's tikkun gavra. Answers the Gemara. Matter time Rabbi Yossi Mila Iker. Rabbi Yossi holds that the main aspect of Geiris is through the Mila. For Hossam Hudalai have a Mila befaneinu. Only when the Mila did not take place in front of us, that's where we're not allowed to take the person to the mikvah on Shabbos. Aval heicha d'ave mila b'faneinu. If there was a proper mila that took place, eimel litvul zeh b'shabso, we should be allowed to immerse this person on Shabbos. Kamash m'lon, Rabbi Yosef Tati boy, we need both mila and tefila. Tefila is crucial, and therefore it cannot take place on Shabbos. As Tosfos, the halacha is that if a person has to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, he's allowed to go, because it's near a kamaker. It only looks like he's cooling himself off. So why does our Gemara say that a person is not allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos when he requires it for the geiris? Answers Tosfos, since the tefillah, as we're going to learn in a moment, of a ger takes place in front of a bezdin, that type of tefillah is not allowed to take place on Shabbos. Another answer that the Ritva explains is when a person is tummy becomes tar, it's not as much of a tikkun as from becoming a non-Jew to a Jew. And therefore, tefillah may not take place of geiris and Shabbos, because it's a much more of a tikkun. Rambam explains, also as we're going to learn in the next Gemara, that geiris is a ma'is of bezdin, it's an act of bezdin, and bezdin isn't in session on Shabbos. Amar Rabba, of the Havaber of Chiyah Berebi, there was an episode of the home of Chiyah Berebi. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yosef Berebi was by Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Safra Masna and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chiyah. Dosl kame ger shema voi tovel. A person who had mila and not tefila came to them and he said, Omele, and they told him, Shoy kan, wait till Ad Mach, until tomorrow, but not Bilcha, and then we'll take you to the mikvah. Shema minot klas. From here we can learn three din. Shema minot ger tzor shloisha. Because as Tosfos explains, why did the Gemara have to add each one of these individuals to this story? And as Tosfos explains, Rav Safra and Rav Chiya were both mentioned because they were colleagues. But why did Rav Safra mention Rav Oishi Rav Chiya? It must be because we need to have three people. V'shmamino eno ger atshima v'yitbol. You have to have both mila and tefila. V'shmamino emet bilan ger b'layla. We wait for the next day, not to do it at night. The name, even though there is a machlok v'shoinim, if the tefila was at night, is it effective? Some rishonim say it is effective, and some rishonim say that it's not. V'shmamino v'shmamino abinim mumchem. All three rabbonim were experts. Says the one, we have no proof. Dilmo de iklu. It happened to be there were three. Omer Rav Chiya bar Abba, Omer Rav Yochanan, Geret Sarach Shloisha, there have to be three Dayanim by Geiris, Mishpat Ksibay, since the Torah calls it a Mishpat, and we know that a Mishpat, a Din Torah, requires three Dayanim. So I saw from Briska Rav, why is the Torah Makbid that we have to have three Dayanim by Geiris? Because, says the Briska Rav, that when one becomes a Ger, besides that it's a personal process, that from becoming a Nachri, from being a Nachri, he becomes a Jew. But part of being a Jew is that he connects himself to all of Klal Yisrael. So we have to have three Jews there showing that now I'm becoming part and parcel together with the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's part of what being a Jew is. That's part of what becoming a Ger is all about.